Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Metzia Tzadik Gimel. We are holding at the Mishnah, which is partway down the Amud. Kaitetz Adam, Ade Atzmai. As we learned, a worker is allowed to snack off, you know, the food that he's eating, that he's dealing with, that he's working with, right? But a worker is allowed to make the following stipulation. He can reach an agreement with his employer. Look, I'm not going to, you know, have your lunch. Instead, you know, add some to my salary. That's called koitzetz. So you can make that agreement if it's for his own, on his own behalf, right? For his own work. Koitzetz adamai de'atzma. He's the worker, right? You can say, look, I'm foregoing. I'm giving up the lunch entitlement for an increase in salary. You can do that. Aidei atzmai, aidei b'nai ubitei agdoilim. Likewise, if he's doing it on behalf of his adult son or daughters, so he's going to earn a bit more off their work. And they're adults, they're responsible, they're intelligent, they can acquiesce to this type of arrangement. That's okay. Aidei avdoi v'shivchasi agdoilim, or his slave or maidservant. Again, if they're adults, they're able to acquiesce, and that's okay. Aidei ishtai, or on behalf of his wife. So he's conditioning a foregoing of lunch for an increase in salary, which he will, you know, be the one taking for, you know, for their work. That's okay. We're speaking about intelligent, mature individuals, and they can acquiesce to this type of arrangement. But he can't do that for youngsters. Let's say he has a son, daughter, young, underage. Kids who are working for this fellow, and he's, you know, earning their income. He can't make this arrangement. He can't, you know, arrange to forego their lunch for an increase in salary because they're not adults who have the ability to forego and to be meichel, right? Likewise, his evero shifchuar ktanim v'leyadei behemto, you are on account of his animal. Look, you can, you know, use my animal, rent my animal, and deprive him of his feed. You can't do that. They're not considered, you know, intelligent individuals, meaning they don't have the maturity to be able to, you know, willingly and responsibly forego these privileges. And this is actually a Mishnah which we had yesterday. It's pretty much a review of yesterday's, right? Furthermore, let's say a fellow hires workers. Lasois b'netar ravai shaloi. To do some work with his netar ravai, you know, fruit that grew on the fourth year of its growth. So basically, this fruit is no longer erla, which only lasts for 3 years. It's called netar ravai, revised lashon of revi, the fourth year, in which case it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So these fellows who are involved in tending to his orchard at this point in time can't partake in that food. Harei elu lo yoichlu, because it's outside Yerushalayim. But let's say he did not inform them. They were not aware of the fact that it was this type of product. They were expecting a lunch. He has to proceed and do pidyon. He has to redeem some of this fruit and feed them. Likewise, Nisparsu Igulov. He had these clumps, these igulim, these circles of pressed figs, and they got sort of dispersed, and they have to be stuck back together. And that's what he hired these fellows to do. This patru chavi Yosef, or he had wine in his barrels, which became unsealed, and he's asking them to go and reseal it. So these materials do not qualify for the achila of the poel, because these are already finished products, right? Fully processed products from which a worker cannot snack, right? Hare elu lo yoichelu. But if he didn't tell them that it's holding this far, so he has to give it to them, because you know, the Gemara yesterday said it looks like a mekach tos, looks like he misled them, so he has to separate the maaser, right, and feed them from this, right. Now let's say we have a guard, a watchman. That's all he's doing. He's watching the orchard. He's entitled to partake and snack off the food based on a Hilchos Medina. Rashi says, it's a minhag. It has become the accepted practice to allow even a fellow who's doing this type of limited work, just watching, to partake in that food. Abolimin HaTorah, he's not entitled based on the Torah halacha, because he's simply watching. So the Gemara, let's elaborate on this halacha. Let's focus on this most recent, this last halacha, Shemrei Peres. Amar Rav, what is it exactly, what is he watching? Amar Rav, Leishon V'Leishemrei Ginois HaPardeses. And the Mishnah says, he's not entitled Min HaTorah. That's because he's guarding Ginois, Pardesim, gardens, orchards, which Rashi says is considered mechubar b'shosh ein gemar malacha. Only a fellow who's really like harvesting is really entitled to eat min haTorah. But here it's pre-harvest; he's watching fruit which are growing. So min haTorah he doesn't eat, only because of the minhag. Okay, aval. Shemrei Gitois V'Aremos. But let's say he's guarding piles of grapes which had already been picked. Okay, so the Aremos are piles of grain, and Gitois is the wine that's in the wine press. So here he's entitled Min HaTorah, Oichlin Min HaTorah, because that's the halacha we learned in the Mishnah the other day, right? If a person's involved in work, mechubar lekarka, and he's harvesting something off the ground, he's entitled. Likewise, if he's involved in something which is tolosh min hakarka, already harvested off the ground, if it's still at the moment of it's not yet fully processed, right? Then he's allowed to take from that tolosh, from that material that's off the ground. So here we have gitay svaremis, which are tolosh, things which are detached, and it's not yet fully processed. And since he's involved and he's watching and he's allowed to eat min haTorah, because Rav holds when you guard something, kasavar mishamer, watching, guarding ka'isam masadam, he's treated like full involvement, like you're fully involved, you're actually involved in work. It's not just like a passive type of activity. It's considered like an active activity, and you're entitled min haTorah. It's like a regular worker. Okay, so again, according to Rav, if you're doing this so-called work on something which is tolosh min haKarka, allows you to eat min haTorah. The thing that the Mishnah is speaking is where he's guarding something which is still growing. It's not yet being harvested. So there, the halach is, you're not entitled min haTorah. It's only with the Rabbon. Shmuel, Amar Shmuel disagrees. He says, guarding, it's not much of an activity. It doesn't really entitle a worker to eat min haTorah, only with the Rabbanan. And even that is only provided that the material itself would potentially afford a worker that entitlement if he should be fully involved. So basically, the minhag is like, takes the halacha, it extends it one step further, not two steps. That's the point. Shmuel, Amar, Leishonu, Leishem, Regides, Varemes. When do we say a guard is allowed to partake? He's guarding finished, harvested products, which if he would be fully engaged and in processing it, he would be eating it min haTorah. But he's only guarding, which is a limited form of involvement, according to Shmuel. So that takes it a step, the minhag takes it a step further, and includes this fellow as well. Avol shem reginus pardesim, but if it's something that's still growing off the tree, right, on the tree, it's still before harvesting, he's just watching that, that's already two steps removed. Right, the material is not really eligible, and he's not even involved. Two steps removed. He doesn't eat at all. He's not entitled min haTorah, or because of a based on a minhag. Oh, kasavar. Shmuel's point is based on mishamer lav koisem masadomi. Gardening is not treated like a mas. So, bottom line, according to Rav, mishamer is like fully active, fully involved. So if it's material which allows min haTorah, so even a mishamer is allowed to min haTorah. If it does not allow min haTorah, so at least from the Rabban he gets it. According to Shmuel, mishamer is not considered kaisa masa. So you're starting sort of on the left foot. You're eating milchas medina, but even that's only if it's material which would theoretically entitle me to eat min haTorah if I was fully involved. Mishamer, if I'm really gardening, one step away, so I eat because of the, I'm entitled because of the accepted practice. But if the material itself would not theoretically entitle a worker to eat Menat Torah. So if I'm guarding, I'm certainly not entitled even Mehilchos Medina. Masiv Rav Acha Bar Afuna, Bevakasha, Mashamar Sapora, Mitame Vigodim. We know that if a person's involved in processing the Pura Aduma, from the point of Shechita, Rashi says, until they gather the ashes, so the garments that he's wearing become tummy. And even a person who's merely guarding is included in this halacha. V'armus mishamra lafka yisem asadami. If guarding is not considered a real activity, amay matame begadim, so why are his garments becoming affected? Amar Rabba bar Ula gzeiro, it's mid Rabbanu, we're concerned. He might inadvertently be physically involved. Shema yazuz ba'eve, he might move some sort of limb and be involved. Masar Afghan, Avakasha. Hameshamar Arba v'chamesh mikshoyis. The fellow was tasked with guarding, you know, four or five different, you know, gardens with, you know, kishur and cucumbers or whatever, squash. Basically, he's working for five different people. Harezu lo yimalik reisim echad mehem. He shouldn't be strictly eating off one garden. That's not fair. Ela mekol echad v'echad echad v'cheshban. He's got to distribute his lunch. A little from this one, a little from that one, in proportion to their, you know, part of the job. But now, hold it. All he's doing is guarding. If guarding is not considered an activity, am I echlis? Why is he eating at all? According to Shmuel. Because here, he's not entitled for any reason. Because remember, he's guarding something which is still mechubar lakarka, pre-harvest. That's already one step removed, and now he's just guarding, it's two steps removed. He shouldn't be getting anything according to Shmuel. Amar Simar Ashi Bakurun Shani. We're not speaking about squatter, she's still on the ground. It's been uprooted off the ground. Bakurun Shanu. So that is material which is called Talush. And as long as it's not yet fully finished, not yet Chayv and Maser, so if a person is fully engaged and fully involved, he would be eating Menat Torah. But if he's just guarding, one step removed, he eats Menat Rabbanan. Asks the more akurin if it's been uprooted. It's a finished product. The flour or whatever has not been removed off the squash, so it's not considered fully finished, and it qualifies. Amar of Ashi, kavasei deshmo mistavra. We take a close look at our Mishnah back on the Peizayin, which sets down the parameters for a worker partaking in the material. We will see a raya to Shmuel that, you know, in some cases, right, if he's guarding mechubar lekarka, he's not entitled at all. We're going to see that in the Mishnah. This is not. Ve'elu ichlim natera. In the following cases, he's entitled to eat minatera. Ha'is mechubar lekarka b'shas k'mar melacha. If he's harvesting, right, off the ground, u'betalash v'chul. Now, when the Mishnah says this fellow can eat minatera, what does that imply? Mechlal di'ikad li'kachu minatera. Ela melachas medina. Apparently, there are others who are not entitled to the Torah, only the Rabbanon because of the Minik, right? Eimah Seifa. Let's move on to the next part of the Mishnah. In the following cases, they do not eat. My Einan Eichlan. What does that mean, they don't eat? At all? Or Eilem She'ein Eichlan Min HaTorah Ela Me'ilchus Medina? Does it mean they're not entitled based on the Torah, only based on the Minik? Hanereisha. Well, that's pretty much repeating what the Mishnah just said in the beginning, right? That some fellows will not have Minat Torah Olam in Medina. Why the repetition? Elalav, rather, it must be that the Mishnah means to say they will not partake at all, like Shmuel, who says that in some cases you're not entitled at all. Elalav she'ein oichen loy Minat Torah, v'loy ilch milchus Medina, not because of the Torah, not because of the Minat, or mind you, who are these individuals? Oh, oise, b'mechubar l'karka, b'sho she'ein gmar malacha. If a person is involved in mechubar lekarka, not during the harvesting point, right? So even if he's doing a masa, right? I don't know, he's pruning the tree, that doesn't entitle him because he's not involved in harvesting. V'koshken, certainly if he's just guarding. Shomer ginus pardesis. If he's just guarding, and there's another reason why he's not going to eat. Because gardening is not considered a full involvement. So bottom line, we see that in some cases, there is no achila at all. Unlike Rabu says that in all cases, there is achila, whether Menat Torah or whether Rabu. continues the Mishnah. Arba shomrim hem. There are four different types of categories regarding somebody watching an item, four different levels of responsibility. Shomer chinam, first is a fellow who's guarding it free of charge. Vashoil, or a person who's borrowing something. He has a heightened level of responsibility. No, he says sachar, person's getting paid a fee for guarding an item. Vasoichar, finally a renter. What are their statuses? Shomer chinam nishbal hakol. If you're guarding something free of charge, anything that happens, you're off the hook. Just make a shvur, an oath, to confirm that story, and you're potter, unless you totally were negligent and careless. Pshia is is an exception, but otherwise, if it gets stolen, lost, you're potter. Vashoyel mashalim esakol. On the other hand, the other side of the spectrum, the other extreme, you have a borrower. He's fully indebted to the owner. Anything that happens, pretty much anything that happens, triggers a payment on his end. He has to pay for any mishap. Vanoisa socher vasocher. A fellow who's getting paid to watch an item, or a renter, there it's sort of split. Nishboim ala shvura v'la shvuya. If the animal gets damaged, hurt, or gets taken away, gets, shvuya is kidnapped, right? It's taken away. V'la mesa, or dies. These are things, which he's not responsible for, so they make a shvua that indeed this is what happened in their potter, but they have to pay for some cases. U'misham and esabed v'esagnev, if it gets lost or stolen, they're responsible. Now, Mantana Arba Shemrim. Who is the author of this Mishnah, who listed four different levels of Shmira? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabo, Rav Meir. It's Rav Meir speaking. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Le Rav Rav Nachman. So Rabbi asked Rav Nachman, why are you asking such a question? Mi Ikud Lesle Arba Shemrim? Is there anybody in the world that doesn't hold of this concept of the Arba Shemrim? Amar Le, he says, Hachi Ka Minalach, I meant to ask like this. Mantana Soicher Kenoise Socher. Who is the author of our Mishnah considers a renter on the same level as a Noisei Sachar? Right? They're both equally responsible for the Aveda Vagneva, etc. Who treats them alike? That's Rav Meir, right? Who in the Braisa holds that a Sechar, like a Sechar Mesechar, asks, what, really? That's Rav Meir's opinion, but Rav Meir, if Chashamela, we have a Braisa. Where Rav Meir says just the opposite. The Sanya, Sechar Kesed Meshalim. Right? How do we treat a Sechar? Rav Meir, like a Sechar Mechinam. He has a very minimal degree of responsibility, like a Sechar Mechinam. So Rav Meir does not pair together a Sechar with a Nois HaSachar. Rabbi Yudah is the one who says that he compared to Hashem HaSachar. Says the Gemara. Right? So basically, we thought that the Mishnah, I guess because it's a Stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah, typically follows Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is the one who's saying that in the Mishnah, a Soicha and a Sachar are in the same category. We have a Braisa. Where according to Rabbi Meir, it's not so. Says the Gemara, Rabba Baravua Ifcha Ketani, right? So the question was that Rabba Baravua just told us a minute ago, right, he said clearly, Mishnah's Rav Meir, right? So how's that consistent with the Braisa? Where Rav Meir holds that a Naisa, Sachar, and a Sachar are different categories, have different levels of Achrayas. Answers the Gemara, Rabba Baravua Ifcha Ketani, Rabba Baravua who stated otherwise, because he had a different version of this Braisa. That in fact Rav Meir is the one who says a Seicher and a Nesha Seicher are on the same level. Yachi says the Gemara, one second. I have a question here. Why is the Mishnah giving us a printout of four? Yachi Arba, four levels? Shloshina, really only three? Because a Seicher, and right, a Seicher is not his own fellow. He's either on the same level as a Shemer Chinam or a Shemer Seicher, depending on the opinions, right? You're right. We're just describing four individuals with the name Shloisha, but really it's a total of three levels of responsibility, because a Seicher either compares to this one or to that one. So as the Gemara, there was a story regarding a Shemer Seicher, how Raya, right, a shepherd, Dava Karoy Chiyusa, he was grazing his animals. He was basically leading his animals. The animals under his watch, Aguda Dinahar Papa, on the riverbank of the river Nahar Papa. And what happened? Sarug Chadimnai, one of his animals, slipped and fell into the river of Nafslamai. Okay? It's gone. Also made the rabbi. So the animal owner was complaining and came to Rabba. Upatri. But Rabba says that this fellow is Pater. Why? Omar, he says, look, my heavenly man, what more could he have done? I mean, he was walking with them normally, they were pasturing, and then they slept in. Hanata could not re-entry. He was shomer the way normal people watch their animals, you know. You don't expect him to do something above and beyond the norm. It's like an oinus, like an accident, he's Pater. We don't treat it like aveda, like something which got lost, for which he would be responsible. We treat it like an oinus. Amalei Abayis, if I responded to Rabba, Alamiata, if that's the case, if you're exempting him in this case, let's say, Al Lamasa Be'idna Da'ili Inshi, Hachanami the Potter, says Abayis. So, if so, let's say, this shepherd abandoned his flock. Why? It was lunchtime, and everybody go visits the local cafeteria in town, right? Al Lamasa, this shepherd, went into town. Be'itna Daili Inshi, when typically these shepherds do so. So if he spent lunch in town and something happened while he was absent, right? Because he wasn't there to watch. Are you going to say he's Pater, Chanami de Pater, just because it's common practice, it's common custom? It doesn't really absolve him. Abaya holds, you know, he's being paid for this job. He's got to keep higher standards. He can't just, you know, follow the rote. Amalei, so Rabbi said, actually, I have a surprise for you in. That's correct. Yeah. So Rabbi maintains that as long as he's, you know, keeping to the regular, you know, common modus operandi, whatever is done, whatever is accepted, practice, that works, even though he's a shomer sachar. So if the, you know, the typical standard is that a raya takes off an hour for lunch, and that's okay, it's acceptable. Says Abaye further. Says Abaye, Gana Purta, let's say he took a little nap. Be'idna the Gana Inshi, when shepherds typically nap. Are we going to say the same thing? Hachanami the Potter, he's Potter if something happened while he was not really being attentive. Amalei, Rabbi says, yeah, right on, in, yep. Eisvei. So Abaye asked the kasha on Rava from my Bryce. Elohim Einsin. Sheshomer Socher Potter Lein. Only in the following incidents do we consider it an oinus sufficient for to exempt a Shomer Socher. Elohim Einsin Sheshomer Socher Potter Lein. Keep going like the Pasuk in Eiv, right? The tragedy that befell him and Batipol Shiva. So from the kingdom of Shva, they came and they captured and they attacked them, right? They took everything. So the Bryce is indicating to us that only in this type of situation where he can't repel the attackers, it's totally beyond his means. Then we say Shemir Sacha is Pata, but a standard incident, even if you want to, you know, sort of classify it as a semi-oines, it's not sufficient to exempt him. Right, Amar Lei. So Rabba responds, that's not describing the standard Shomer Socher obligations. Hasam b'chazone masa. We're speaking there about, as she says, Shomer ha'ir b'layla, the night watchmen. These night watchmen are hefty fellows. These fellows have a very high standard, and everybody's. The whole city is totally relying on them to watch them, to guard them. So, of course, these fellows have to be more vigilant. It's the only way for them to be absolved is if they're overtaken by this, you know, overwhelming, you know, attack. Otherwise, they're a pot, right? Otherwise, they're a chayiv. But a standard shomer socher doesn't have such high standards. As long as it qualifies somewhat as an oinus, it's sufficient to exempt him. Eisvei, here comes another kasha from Abaye to Rabba. Admasai Shomer Socher Chayv Lishma. What's the extent of the Chiyuv Achrayus of Shomer Socher? Up until what point? How much does he have to invest himself? Very far. At kedei, like the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu, who's describing to Lavan what he went through guarding his flock. Ad kedei ha'yisi ba'yoy machalani choyrev. During daytime, I was struck by heat. Bekarach ba'lalo, nighttime by freezing temperatures. So basically, he's indicating that a shomer sechar has got very high standards. Amalei, so Rava responds to Abaye Atu Yaakov Avinu Chazan Masahava. Sorry, Amalei, sorry, excuse me. Amalei, asam nami b'chazani masa. So Rava says, well, there too. The standard described here relates to the Chazani Masa, the night watchman who have a higher standard. Amalei, so Abaye says, what do you mean? We're speaking about Yaakov Avinu, Atu Yaakov Avinu Chazan Masahava. He had this type of job? No. He's just a regular shepherd. So the answer is like this. Amar Lei. So Rabbi says, no. The pasuk here, and Yaakov Avinu here is describing a higher set of standards which he conformed to despite the fact he didn't have to. He went beyond what he was meant to do. The Amar Lavan, he tells Lavan, what are you complaining to me? Natrilach, do you know what I did for you? Natrilach, I guarded for you. I provided a service of the highest standards. Niturusi Yisurasa, an extra higher level of Shemira, Kechazani Masa, just like those Chazani Masa. But truthfully, a regular Shemir Sechar doesn't necessarily have to live up to these standards. Esvei, here comes another Kasha from Abaye to Rabba. Roya Shaya Roya. So the shepherd is tending to the flock for which he's, you know, getting paid for. Right? A paid job. Vinech Edroya Balair, and he abandoned his flock and he came into town. And while he was gone, Bozev, Vitaraf, a wolf comes and kills one of the animals, Bari Vidaras, a lion came and attacked. So what is the halacha? Ein oimdim or oimrim. We don't say, well, ilu ha'yoshama yematzel. It's his fault, because if he would have been there, he would have saved the animal. We don't say that. We don't attribute blame to him. Elo oimdim, we make a true evaluation. Look, elo oimdim, I say, im yochel ha'atzel, if in fact, if he were present, could he have repelled the attack? Chai, then he's responsible. Vim lav, otherwise potter. So Abaye now will explain his kasha on Rabbi. My love, shall we not assume that we're speaking to all b'idno da'ilinshi? That he came into town for a visit when it's a custom to do so. Like when typically shepherds do so, I guess, you know, let's say lunchtime, right? They come in for a, right? Still, the Brisa says that we blame him for it. If he would have, you know, been there and he could have done something, then he's to blame. So we see that even though he's, you know, following common practice, it doesn't exempt him because of Shomer Sechar. He has higher standards. Says him, Loi. No, that's not the case. The Al B'idna, the Loi Aylin, was speaking that he came for a visit. He abandoned his flock when typically shepherds do not do that. So there's no real excuse for what he did. So he's chayiv. Yochi, if that's the case, am I potter? So even if we established that if he would have been there, he couldn't have done anything, which makes him an oinus, but that shouldn't be enough reason to exempt him. The fact is he left his flock unattended. It's an act of pure negligence. It's called a pshia. Yochi, am I potter? Tchilasa pshia. So he initiated with a pshia. So even if v'seifei bo'enes ultimately turned out to be an accident, chayiv, right? That's the halacha. We had a machlekes actually, but it seems like you're going with that shita right now. At chilasa v'pshia v'seifei bo'enes is chayiv. So why would he be potter if we determined that his presence would not have made a difference? The fact is, it was preceded by a carelessness, which makes him totally liable for anything. Answers the Gemara, no. He's not to be blamed. He got scared off by the lion. The Shema kol aryei val. He heard a lion approaching and he took off. So that's an oinus. Says the Gemara Yehachi. So if he ran off because of the lion, aimed in oisai, so what's the point of establishing and theorizing whether or not he could have repelled the attack if the lion, if he would have been, Ma'alimabe, what could he have done? What do you mean? It's a lion. Hoyla lekadim b'roim ma'akles. He could have prepared himself. He could have, went out for a preemptive attack. He could have defended his flock by summoning some other shepherds and getting together some weapons, some sticks. So the fact that he didn't do that, right? The fact that he wasn't there to do that makes him chayev, right? So that's the point of evaluating. We evaluate whether or not he could have repelled the attack. Yochi. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that, you know, we're only blaming him for not counterattacking. So why is the Braisa limiting this halacha, limiting this liability to Hashem Yisachar, who has higher standards? Well, you should have protected your, right? Even if he's doing this for no fee, he's doing it as a mitzvah. So what? He's being negligent. He could have easily repelled the attack. And the Maru the Amar. Mar, you Rava, didn't you tell us once that Shoymer Achinim, even Shoymer Achinim, Shoyle the Kadim Baroyim Bamaklis, that could have repelled the animals, Vulay Kidim, and he failed to do so? Chayat? So why is this Brisa specific to Hashem Yisachar? The same concept, same principle applies to anybody, even Hashem Rechinam. Answers the Gemara, you're right, in principle, but in practicality, it makes a difference. Shoyim Rechinam Bechinam. All Hashem Rechinam is obligated to do is to try to repel the animal, but only if it doesn't cost him any money. Hashem Yisachar B'Sachar. The point of the Brisa is that Hashem Yisachar has a heightened level of responsibility. He's got to be willing to pay. Right, to hire other fellows to come help him repel the attack. But, because after all, he's getting paid for the job, so he has that responsibility. Asks the Gemara. Right, so we're talking about a case where it was going to cost him money, so therefore, that's only a chiyuv for Hashem Yisachar. But what's the maximum? How much is he meant to invest? Right, ad kedei d'min. Up until the value of the animals. So if the animals in total are worth $1 million, he's got to be willing to invest $1 million, up until $1 million, to protect him. Asks the Gemara, well, v'heichan matzina b'shem Yisachar shechai ba'ainsin. I mean, so we're all agreeing that the Hashem Yisachar on his own, one man alone, can't do anything here. Right? Unless he gathers together to get some help, he gets some weapons, right? And he pays for it, right? What do we find? That Hashem Yisachar has this type of obligation. He's got to invest his own money to protect, right? Answers the Gemara, no, he's not losing anything. The Hadar Shokal Dmein Balabais. He's going to get paid back from the Balabais. Amalei Rapa Balabai. Yachi, if that's the case that the owner is repaying him, Maya Hanilei Mina. What's the purpose of doing this? What's he gaining from? I mean, he's laying out $1 million to save himself his crop, his flock, which is worth $1 million. I mean, what's the point? The answer is like this: he already trained them; they're familiar with him, and it's he's saving himself that whole effort, all that time and effort invested. It's not just about money, right? Nafkamina. Difference is like this: he gains the following two items: the kushra, the chiyusa, the familiarity with the animals, right? They're familiar with him, right? And he knows their language, they know his, right? Inami, another point, Latircha Yiseiros, the point of having to go find new animals, all that shopping, all that work involved. So the Hashem Yisachar is meant to preserve this flock for his owner, even if it means making this extra effort. Rav Chizda v'Rabba Rav Huna lo yisfiru lo hadarabba. Let's go back to the whole story, which triggered that whole sugya. This fellow was taking his animal for the animals under his care. He was being paid for them, and he was taking them for a walk, and one of them slipped in, right? And Rabbi says, well, it's not his fault. He's just doing the regular thing. But says the Gemara, there is an opposing view. Rav Chizda, v'Rabba Barav Huna lo yisfiru lo hadarabba. They disagreed with Rabbi. They held the shepherd fully accountable. The Amri, because the owner can tell him, look, you know why I'm paying you, right? Like they say, you get what you pay for, right? I'm trying to pay you so that you lachi yahavi lach agra. That's exactly why I paid you. I expected you to do a better job looking after my animals. So what are you doing, letting them slip on in the water? So therefore he's chayiv. Bar Ado, that was his name, and he was a sabula'a. He was a schlepper, a fellow who would transport, a porter, right? Havakama aver chiyusa. Agamlo de Norash. So he was in the middle of carrying some animals over the bridge. Gamlo's a bridge in the town of Norash. Doch v'chal l'chaverto. So it seems like he wasn't actually carrying them, but he was, you know, getting them across. And one of them shoved the other one into the water. Shadis of Maya threw into the water. Also, the commander of Papa comes to our Papa Chaybe. He's got to pay. Amarli says, Mavilu Mavad, what do you blame me? What could I have done? I mean, the animals were fighting. Amarli says, well, Iboy Lechla Vuri Chadachad. You could have taken them across a single file, one at a time. So there's no fighting in the middle. Amarli. So Barada responded to the Rav. Yadas bebevar achsich, the motzi lemeevar chadachada. Bar achsich is your nephew, the son of your sister. It's just an expression, one of ours, one of our community, one of the one of the yidden. Basically, is there anybody that you know? That's what he's trying to say. Is there anybody you know that does this type of thing and brings the animals over one at a time? That's not the way to do it. Why are you demanding? Why are you expecting higher standards of me? Amar Leisra, Papa says, Kvar Tzavchu Kamoy de Kamoch. This is not a new argument. This claim has been voiced by those who preceded you. It's an old discussion. All the shepherds have the same claim. Nobody pays attention to them. Basically, he's going in line with Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna. You're getting paid for the job. Do a good job and don't complain. There was a story revolving a fellow called Ivo. Okay, Afkid Kisna Beirunya. He took his flax, his Kisna, and he gave it to Runya as a Shemer Chinam for safekeeping. And what happened? It got stolen. Azal Shabu. Shabu was the name of a local thief. Shamtimine stole the pishta, he stole the material from Runya. Seifu Kargana. It turns out they reviewed the video cameras and they discovered that Shabu was a thief. And, you know, they could have taken him to the Bezdin. Sounds like he was a Jewish thief. And they could have gotten the stuff back from him. Also, the Kameder of Nach. So now it's a question of who's responsible, who has to go chase the Ganav? I mean, right? Is the owner going to do that or the Shamer going to do that? V'chaybi, Rav Nachman says that Runya, who is the Shomer, look, you have the ability to, we already tracked down the Gana, you can catch up with him, get the money out of him. In the meantime, you have to pay the owner, and the effort involved in extracting that money from the Gana is on your head. Says the Gemara, really? So Shomer Chinam has to go to that great extent of compensating the owner, and then he himself has to go run after the Ganav. Seems to be in opposition to Rav Huna. The Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, he sent a halacha as follows. Let's say a fellow was watching, you know, an animal, and the animal was stolen, right? Armed robber stole it, and then they tracked down the thief. And there's a way, you know, if we take it to court, we can get the money out of him. So it depends. So the question is, whose obligation is that? Who has to go run after the ganav? The owner or the shamer? If he wasn't getting paid for this job, then it's up to him. Rotza nishba. He can choose to just swear that it happened and he just walks away free. Rotza yisei maidin. Or if he wants, he can just repay the owner. And then he himself will go find the ganav and get the money back. So it's basically up to the shomer. Im shomer sacharu, but if he was getting paid for this task, here he has no choice. Shomer sachar has to repay the owner, and then, you know, try to get compensated from the ganav. He can't just get away by making a shvur. Look, this is what happened. No. I mean, if the ganav is not around, fine. Then the shomer sachar. Even though the ganav is accessible, but the shomer sachar has got to be the one that takes the ganav to court and gets the money back. So that's Rav Huna Bar Avin's halacha, which doesn't seem to be consistent with Rav Nachman, who says that even by the shomer chinam story, the same didn't apply, that the shomer is responsible. Amar Rava. The answer is like this. Awesome. Over there with the story with the flax of Runya that was stolen, Gavri de Parmuska Bukaimi, there were local officials standing by. There was some police on the corner, which he could have quickly summoned Dirama Kalev, had he only yelled out for help, they would have come and protected him. He failed to do so, so he's partially responsible, and therefore he has to go and compensate the owner. And then get compensated from the Ganav. So once we know that Hashem Sachar is chayev for Geneva and not for Oines, let's proceed with the next mission, which will sort of determine for us what is considered a true Oines, which exempts Hashem Sachar. Ze'ev Echad. Suppose one wolf came and attacked the herd, right, and killed the animal. Ain't no Oines. That's not called an Oines, because the Shomer, the shepherd, could have easily repelled him. Shnei Ze'ev Moines, but he was attacked by two wolves. At the same time, that's overwhelming force. That's something beyond his ability. Rabbi Oimen B'shas Mishlachas Ze'ev, we should know that when it's a time where wolves are just coming and freely attacking, right? So they're more aggressive at that, you know, and then after Ze'ev Echad, Oines, even if it's just one single wolf, right? Because of the added element of brazenness that's prevalent at that time, he would have had a difficult time repelling it, and it's called an Oines. What about dogs? Shnei Klavim, ain't an Oines. Even two dogs attacking is not an Oines. Yodua Abav Li'Omer, Meshura Meir, quotes Rameir, well, it depends if they're coming together or from two directions. Ruach Achas, if they're both coming from the same direction, you could have easily chased them off, ain't an Oines. Meshtei Ruchas, if they came from two different directions, from all sides, Oines, that's called an accident. If it was a robber who came and took the animal, that's called an oines. And we have a string of wild animals, ha'ari, vadoi, vanome, arbadlus, vanochash, a lion, a bear, leopard, arbadlus, vanochash, a snake, harei l'oines, they attacked, it's an oines. And Masai, when is that true? Bizman shebo, malein. When do we say that if the robber shows up or the lion shows up, that's, you know, that's only if they came on their own. Right, so he's pasturing his flock and grazing his animals, and suddenly a lion shows up, unexpected, total surprise. Let's say the shepherd decided to take his animals to a dangerous place, a place which is known to have the presence of animals and robbers, and something happens there. You can't consider that an accident. Let's say the animal just died suddenly. That's an accident. Sigfa Mesa. Let's say he deprived it of food or drink, and then it died. That's not an oinus, and it's chayev. Also, Lurashi took him and offered Ariza oinus. Let's say the animal quickly ran up to the, climbed up to the top of the cliff and dropped down. That's an oinus. Hell, Lurashi took him and offered. Let's say he himself led the animals up to the top, and then an animal dropped down, Omesa, and it died. Any oinus. You can't, have no excuse there. Asks the Gemara. The mission says one ze'ev is not an oines. V'atanya ze'ev yachad oines. The Brisa does consider a single ze'ev attacking to be an oines. Amar Rav Nachman, Bar Yitzchak, Ahi b'shas mishlachas ze'evim. That Brisa is speaking when the wolves were letting loose and they were just attacking. They were in attack mode, right? An unusual environment where the ze'evim were gripped by this sudden, you know, brazenness. So there we say even one is considered dangerous. Rabbi Yudahi. This is in line with Rabbi Yudah's Shita in the Mishnah as well. Halista marisa oines. So if a robber comes and attacks, that's called an oines. Why? Put up a fight. It's one against one. Amai. Loiki gavra landi gavra. Pit one man against the other, meaning the shepherd could have fended him off. Omar rab listim mezuyan. We speak about an armed robber. Ibailu. Here comes a question. Listim mezuyan. Veroyim mezuyan mai. Let's say both the robber and the shepherd are armed. Is that considered an oinus? What's the question? Miyamina, shall we say, uki gavra la de gavra? We have an equal match, right? One against one. And he could have chased them off. Or maybe no. The robber is highly motivated and more willing to sacrifice to gain his objective, right? That's what he's coming for. He knows that he might face opposition. He's coming all out. So perhaps the you don't expect that same level of tenacity from the shepherd. We're not expecting him to moisa nefesh, right? Like the robber. The robber is coming to him serious nefesh. The raya is not expected to do so. So is he responsible or not? Says the Gemara Mestavra, It's probable that he's not obligated to go all out. The robber is being Maser Nefesh. He's coming all out. Whereas the shepherd is not expected to put up that same level of opposition. Amalei Abayi LeRava. So Abayi tells Rava, I have an interesting exception to this halacha. So if he was attacked by a robber suddenly, it's not his fault. But let's say the shepherd, you know, wanted to like sort of scare off the potential robber. He says, you know, Mr. Robber, Amalei says, look, Ganvi Asari, he calls him a name. Right, you lowly, despicable Ganav, listen very closely. Beduchta Planya Yasivinan, right? I'm actually going to be stationed in such and such area with my animals. Kach, don't even dare coming close. Kach v'kach kavri kabadan. We have 25 people with us. Kach v'kach kavri kabadan. We have 35 dogs, right? Kach v'kach zuksa psikalon. We have 50, slingshot shooters. We're all equipped, all armed. Don't you dare come, right? And what happened? Vazel. And the robber showed up with the whole gang. They took some of the animals. My, what's they did? Right? Do we say that it was commendable? It was good that he warned the robbers ahead of time, and now it's really tonightness. Or shall we say no? The fact is that perhaps he incited by warning him in this manner. He sort of he tempted him. He incited him. If anything, he caused this calamity. Amalei says, yeah, just like in the Mishnah, we learned that if he took his animals to a place which is considered dangerous, he's responsible. Here as well, he created, right? With this presentation to the Ganav, he triggered him, and he created. He's the cause of this dangerous environment, and he's to blame for what happens. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We started with the halacha of the poel that eats off his job. We have the concept of being koitzetz, foregoing that meal in exchange for a salary increase. We learned about the status of a shomer peiros. We have machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether he's considered like a oisim maser or not. We have the classic mishnah of abor shomrim, shemachidim, shoyel. And then we have neses sochar and soicher. And the question is, what status does the soicher have? We have a meir, Rav Yudah, two different girsis. We have an interesting chiddush of Rabbah that even a shomer sachar is not, all out responsible. As long as he follows accepted norms, he's okay. We have a machlekes on that. And we concluded with the Mishnah, which sets the parameters of what is and what is not considered an oinus. All the best to you and hatzlacha.